And now, When Radio Was. Brought to you by RadioSpirits.com.
I'm Greg Bellum, you open with a newspaper shutterbug. And then it's our weekly visit with Chandu the Magician. The title character in this opening episode is voiced by Stotts Cotsworth, with John Gibson as Ethelbert, the bartender at the Blue Note Cafe. It's from a week or so before Christmas, originally airing on December 18th, 1947.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hiya, Casey.
Hiya, Ethelbert. Well, I see you got the windows and mirrors all dolled up again for the holidays.
Yeah, the same guy comes every winter and paints them for us.
Mm, like little Jack Frost.
Huh?
You remember, when you were a kid, they told you Jack Frost painted those ice flowers on the window.
Hey, that's a good one. I'll try it on Tony. Hey, Tony.
Yeah?
Who's the famous artist that paints on glass?
Oh, that's easy. Jack Frost.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, The Life of the Party. One of the most interesting sections of our city is known as Whittaker Grange, with its winding streets and century-old houses where artists have established a colony. The more successful live and work in a narrow, dead-end alley called Gedney's Close. And in the late afternoon, a familiar, battered-looking automobile pulls up near the entrance of Gedney's Close as...
I guess we'll have to park here, Annie. They don't let you drive into this alley.
Well, I prefer to walk the rest of the way, Casey. I love to look at these old houses.
Well, you do, huh? Well, I got my camera and stuff. Come on, let's go.
Okay.
Higgins' studio is that big stone barn at the dead end there.
I'm going to get a big thrill out of seeing his studio and meeting him again. I think Andre Higgins is our greatest living sculptor.
Well, he was. He hasn't been producing top quality lately, though. They... art critics say this new bronze group that you're going to interview him about is only run-of-the-mill.
I know. He's too busy playing to really work, I guess.
Yeah. It's a sweet-scented crowd he plays around with, too.
Well, I've never met any of them except his model, Marcel. She's certainly no bargain.
Oh, wait a minute, Annie. She's the only one who is a bargain. That gal's the most gorgeous brunette I've ever looked at.
Really?
Well, I mean of her type, Annie.
I don't know how a cultured, mature man like Andre Higgins can stand having her around, let alone be in love with her. As he apparently is.
But at least she's not dangerous. I can't say that for one of Andre's other pals.
Who?
Blister Hoagland.
He's a pal of Andre Higgins?
Well, they're seen together a lot.
Oh, Casey, Blister Hoagland's suspected of a couple of murders. The cops have been trying to nail him for years.
Uh-huh.
How can Higgins associate with a man like that?
I don't know. He's a strange guy. Like all famous artists, he attracts parasites who live on reflected glory. He's either too weak or too good-natured to give him the brush off, I guess. Uh-oh. Hey, look at that guy. He just came out of Higgins' place just now.
Oh, Casey. He must be headed for a costume party.
Yeah, look at the green velvet pants on him.
He's fantastic. And that bright yellow smock and a red beret.
If he goes outside of this deserted alley, a cop will pinch him for obstructing traffic. Annie!
What's he doing with that big knife?
He stabbed himself,
Casey.
Annie. Quick, come on.
He's fallen to the sidewalk. Oh, I can see the knife handle sticking out of his chest. And there's blood.
He drove that blade right into his heart.
Has he? Is he dead?
We gotta get a doctor, quick.
Yeah, and the police.
This guy came out of Higgins' place. Punch that doorbell, Annie, will you?
The door's opening.
Hello, Casey. Miss Williams.
Andre, come here.
I saw you two from my window, so I... What's happened here?
This guy just committed suicide.
We saw him do it.
Good heavens.
Well, who is he? Why did he come out
of... He's Bertram Farland, art student.
Student? Well, he looks at least 50 years old.
Well, I'm glad the poor devil can't hear you say that, Miss Williams. He liked women to think of him as young. He was the life of every party he attended. That should be his epitaph. He was the life of the party.
Oh, poor fellow.
Well, he's gone, and there's nothing we can do to bring him back. Come inside and meet some friends of mine. We're having cocktails. What can I make for you, Miss Williams?
Mr. Higgins.
Hey, wait a minute, Andre. You knew this guy. He just killed himself in front of your door.
And it was most inconsiderate of him. Oh, I know you think I'm callous, but I'm a realist. Well, now that I've spoken so frankly, how about a cocktail?
We'll skip it.
Definitely.
Well, now, apparently I've shocked you. Ah, my guests are coming out.
Why are you staying outside so long, Andre?
Yeah, what's the big idea?
Andre, I want you to make me another drink. Oh, Casey.
Hello, Marcel.
Ah, mon Dieu. Why is Bert lying on the sidewalk?
He's committed suicide, Marcel.
Suicide?
A knife in his chest.
He stabbed himself, Tom.
The poor sap. Did it because of Marcel, I suppose.
Probably, Daisy.
Well, I could not help it if he was in love with me and I did not want to make marriage with him. He knew my heart belonged to Andre.
He should have. You tell the world your heart belongs to Andre when Andre's around.
How do you mean that last part, Daisy?
Never mind. Miss Williams, Casey, you know Marcel, of course.
Yeah?
Certainly, I know Casey. And Miss Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you've met Mrs. Leland Carmichael, noted for her wealth, the 5 husbands she's divorced, and her vulgar display of diamonds.
Gals who can get husbands, get them, Andre. And gals who can buy diamonds, wear them. Glad to meet you, chums. Call me Daisy.
And this is Tom Thompson. He's a mere artist and a bad one.
Candor can sometimes be more unpleasant than refreshing, Andre. Nice to know you, Miss Williams. Mr. Casey.
Thanks.
Now let us all go inside and get a drink.
Now, wait a minute. We'll have to do something about poor Bert, won't we?
Oh, don't bother Lamley.
Oh, I've never met such as callous, inhuman people in my life.
Neither have I, Anne. Higgins, I never could figure you, but I kidded myself you were a right guy. Now I see you're nothing but a louse. As for these characters you call your friends...
Why,
get out of my way. I'm going into your joint and call the cops.
And I'm going with you.
What?
Now they're laughing, Casey.
Yeah. Annie, look at the dead guy.
He's getting up. With the handle of that knife still sticking out.
It's a gag.
Oh, no. Now you fell for it, chums.
Miss Williams, Casey... Meet the late corpse, Bert Fallon.
Oh, me, oh, me. If you could have seen yourselves when you thought I'd done a hari-kari.
The old collapsible knife trick and a little red ink to make it look better.
Yeah. The knife blade slipped into the handle when I hit myself. See?
Oh, you've been a fine pair of dopes, Casey.
You don't pay a thing. Bert cooked up the joke when I mentioned you were coming, and we watched for you. Why, I hope you're not sore.
Oh, no, anything but.
We can take it. And you certainly handed it out.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get a laugh on somebody else before you leave here. I'll see to that.
You can depend on Bert. He's quite a prankster.
Yeah, I know a million gags.
Our little Bert loves fun.
Well, why shouldn't I, Daisy? Fun never hurt anybody.
That's a debatable question.
What do you mean, Tom?
Oh, do not talk so much, Bert. Let's all go inside.
Come on, I want a drink.
Let's go in, Casey. Yeah. Miss Williams? Oh, close the door, Tom, and keep the common people out.
What a lovely studio you have, Mr. Higgins. It's so big.
Thank you.
You can lose yourself in this barn. Say, where's Blister?
I'd forgotten that.
Here I am.
Oh, he's sitting behind that statue.
Miss Williams, Casey, let me present... Mr. Hoagland.
We already know Blister Hoagland.
How'd you like the gag they pull on you, Casey? It's pretty good, huh?
Good enough. We fell for it.
Yeah, I know. I was watching from the window.
Why didn't you come outside with the others? You'd have made the gag better.
Just how?
Well, if I'd seen you around, I'd have thought Bert Fallon's phony suicide was a murder.
Why would you have thought that?
You've done several jobs of killing, haven't you?
Cops never proved it.
They'll get the goods on you someday. Your luck will run out.
I don't like this kind of talk.
Mister...
Okay, Andre, I'm a good-natured guy. He never loses his temper. Casey's sore because Bert's suicide gag made him look like a sap, and he's trying to needle me to get even. But I'm a good sport. I can take things as they come and laugh with... Oh!
What's the matter?
What's the matter? My foot's on fire! Oh, the old hot foot gag, Blister. I snuck up and stuck a match in your shoe.
Why?
I told you, Casey, you'd get a laugh on somebody
else.
You
lousy little clown. Out.
Let him go, Blister. Let go of him or I'll...
Okay, Casey. Sorry, everybody. The joke's on me. Have a drink with me, Bert, old pal.
Let's all have a drink. Come on.
I need...
Hey, Andre, maybe one of my specials.
Blister would have killed that little man if you hadn't stopped him, Casey.
Yeah.
We really stepped into something when we came here today.
I'll say we did.
Mm.
Casey.
Yeah, so would I, Annie. You came here for an interview, and until you get it, we got to stay.
I simply haven't been able to pin Higgins down. He's all over the place.
So is everybody else.
How can a man like Higgins put up with such people? They have no talent, no intellect, nothing to recommend them.
Daisy, that big overstuffed gal, told me this was dear Andre's inner circle.
Casey, do you think all those diamonds that Daisy wears are the real thing?
No, she told me they're imitations. All except the big headlight she wears on her finger. That's a lot of carats of the real McCoy. She says she's superstitious. She always wears it because her first husband gave it to her for luck.
She's taking a big chance wearing anything valuable around a crook like Blister Hoagland. And I wouldn't trust that Marcel very far either.
You don't like Marcel, do you, Annie?
I never met such a phony. Look at her over there, chewing gum like a chopping machine and playing footy-footy with Thompson.
Seems to be a little double-timing going on with that young artist. She's been Higgins' gal for a long time.
Huh.
Shh, here comes Higgins. Huh?
Well, what are you two doing there by yourself?
Your party sort of wandered away from us, Andre.
People do scatter out in this big barn. Come on to the barn. Let me fill your glasses.
No, thanks. We're working people.
I got to get that story from you, Mr. Higgins.
Now you can ply me with questions over the next drink, Miss Williams.
Is that a promise?
Definite promise. Come on now.
Okay.
Hi, Daisy. I found him in the jungle, and I'm bringing him back alive.
Good hunting, chum.
Marcel, Tom, you gather around, too.
Come, Tommy. Andre wants us.
The master's voice.
I'm not going to get that interview, Casey.
Not right now.
Blister!
Huh? What do you want?
I'm gathering the clan. Come to the bar.
I was grabbing a nap.
I'm gathering the clan. I'm bringing in the sheep.
Higgins has gotten himself a snoop full, Annie.
So is Daisy. Look at her.
Now that we're all together... Shh. Now, quiet, all of you, please. Now that we're all together, my dearest friends...
We're not all here. Where's Bert?
Oh, yeah. Now, where's Bert? Oh, hey, Bert!
Andre, Sherry, maybe he's asleep someplace. Do not wake him up. It is so peaceful here without him.
Oh, now we need Bert, Marcel. He's always the life of the party.
The party's better without his kind of life. No unfunny comedy, no practical jokes.
Tom, Bert's our pal.
Yeah, he may be your pal.
The last gag he pulled handed me a swell laugh. Your foot still feel hot, Blister?
Yeah, that was very funny, Daisy.
The way you took it, it was. Trying to kill the poor twerp.
Now lay off, will you?
Maybe I'd better, knowing your reputation.
Well, I gotta find Bert. Bert!
Where is he?
Hey, Bert.
Tommy, while Andre is looking, you fix me a fresh drink.
Okay, Marcel.
Will somebody have a stick of chewing gum? Oh, I forgot. Nobody uses it but me.
We sometimes get the benefit of it after you've used it. You shouldn't stick the wads of it on chairs. Fill my glass, too, Tom. Here.
Ow!
What's the matter?
My ring. My ring's gone.
What?
You're kidding.
My big diamond, the real one.
Well, you had it on me. You were talking to me, Daisy.
I know it, Casey. I was talking to you and Bert about... Bert. He was holding my hand after you left. He slipped it off.
Bert wouldn't steal a ring.
Well, of course he wouldn't, Tom. It's another of his unfunny jokes. Where is the run? Let me get my hands on him.
Don't that hand me a laugh.
Oh, shut up, Blister.
Marcel, Casey.
Yes, I'm
everyone.
Right?
What's the matter?
Come here.
What is it?
I've just found Bert. Dead.
Dead?
Dead.
Is this another gag?
No. He's not breathing. I think he's been murdered.
You're listening to Casey, Crime Photographer, on When Radio Was. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to When Radio Was, and this is Casey, Crime Photographer.
Found him lying here, behind this statue, just as you see him, Casey.
Well, he's dead, all right.
A knife through his throat.
In just the right spot, Anne, so he'd make no sound.
But who could have killed him?
It had to be someone here, Marcel.
Definitely. You tried to kill him earlier this evening, Blister.
Now, don't you point the finger at me, Daisy.
You've been suspected of other killings.
Now, be careful, Tom.
You did it, Blister.
I didn't. I swear I didn't.
I think the cops will nail it on you.
With all of you against me, accuse me, maybe they will. But I'm giving him no chance. I'm doing a lamb.
You're not leaving here.
Yes, I am.
He's got a gun, Casey.
Keep away from me, all of you. I'm not taking a rap for something I didn't do. I'm getting out of here. Anyone who tries to stop me gets a bullet.
Andre.
You shot him.
One has a right to shoot an escaping murderer. Luckily, I had a gun. Phone the police, Casey. Okay, Andre. Good job of shooting you did. You caught Blister squarely between the eyes.
That's a complete story, Casey.
I don't think I've left out anything, Logan.
And what do you say, Miss Williams?
No, I can think of nothing that Casey hasn't told you, Captain.
No.
Sergeant, have you finished searching those two bodies?
Just now, Captain. There's no diamond ring on the guy who was stabbed around Blister Hoagland either.
I'll have the man do a detailed search of this studio for it.
Yes, sir.
You know, that ring may have no connection with Fallon's stabbing, Casey.
Look, Logan, when a hunk of ice worth a good 15 grand is missed at about the same time that a guy suspected of taking it is found murdered...
Yeah, I know. Casey, do you think Blister killed Bert?
Well, Logan, I did. I fell into line with everybody else who was accusing him because I wasn't thinking then. Well, now I don't know.
But you'll testify that Higgins was justified in shooting Blister.
I'll have to. The guy was a murder suspect. He threatened us with a gat and he tried to escape.
I'd have shot him myself if I'd had a gun.
Not as accurately as Higgins did.
Yeah, it was good shooting.
Higgins told us he does a lot of pistol practice.
Yeah, he told me that when he showed me his permit for the gat he used. You say Higgins discovered Fallon's body.
But your police surgeon says Fallon was dead at least 15 minutes before the discovery was made. You can't think Higgins had anything to do with it.
I'm simply thinking, Miss Williams. Nobody recalls seeing anybody near the spot where Fallon was found?
Well, we were all scattered all over this barn of a place, Logan, moving around. You know what parties are like.
Everyone excepting yourselves had been drinking pretty heavily and was inclined to be quarrelsome.
Marcel hadn't had much to drink.
Too busy crunching gum.
Higgins wasn't quarrelsome.
And he was tight.
Until he found the body, that sobered him up.
Yeah, it naturally would. A fat girl who lost her ring. She have a lot of dough? A
couple of millions, Fallon told him.
What about Thompson?
Thompson's an art student. He goes in for... You know, this surrealism, that kind of stuff.
Goes for that Marcel, babe.
Yeah.
Captain. Captain Logan.
Yes, Sergeant?
We just found a ring.
The diamond ring?
There's no diamond in it, sir. The stone's been pried out.
Pried out?
I see.
Here.
Yeah. Prongs have been forced apart.
That's the setting that held Daisy's diamond, Logan.
Uh-huh. Now bring the fat gal in here, Sergeant. Bring all the witnesses in here.
Yes, sir.
Well, this proves that ring wasn't simply lost.
It doesn't prove, but it certainly indicates.
And how, Logan? Look, Bert Fallon slipped the ring off Daisy's finger as a joke, but somebody saw him do it and got an idea.
Yeah?
And that somebody killed the little guy, took the ring, pried out the $15,000 stone because it was easier to conceal, and he just sat tight. Then when Fallon's dead body was discovered, it was a cinch that Blister would be immediately suspected and accused of the murder. And if he'd gotten away with his run out, even for a short time, no one would believe that he hadn't stolen the diamond in addition to knifing Fallon.
Now, Higgins's gunshot spoiled things for the real thief and killer.
Sure, because Blister was killed before he could leave this studio. And your search of his body proves he didn't have the diamond.
Now, if your theory is right, it eliminates Higgins and the fat gal. She had no reason to steal her own diamond.
It leaves only Thompson and Marcel.
Yeah.
Casey, I think your theory's 100%.
Well, thanks, Ellie.
All right, inside.
Sergeant Flanagan's bringing them in.
Now, let's go over and meet him halfway. Now, you people, sit down. Make yourselves comfortable.
Oh, thank you. Right.
Here's your pet chair, Marcel.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Have you found my ring, Captain?
We haven't found your diamond, Mrs. Leland Carmichael.
Oh, dear.
Well, they will find it, Dave.
Well, I hope so, Andre. You know it's my luck.
I'm going to ask a few personal questions, starting with you, Mr. Thompson.
All right.
Have you any money of your own?
That is personal.
I can get it from other sources if you don't tell me.
I'm an artist. A bad one, many people think, which means I'm always broke.
Yeah. Thanks. What's your financial status, Marcel?
Why, I have only what I make as a model and what Mr. Higgins gives me besides.
What do you give her besides, Mr. Higgins?
I'm afraid I haven't been very generous with Marcel.
Oh, but you have, Cherie. $100 a month just for spending money?
Give you any diamonds?
No. I do not care for diamonds.
Any woman who says that is a liar.
Do not say I lied, Daisy.
Pipe down. Marcel, Thompson.
Huh?
Which of you two has that stolen diamond?
Stolen diamond?
Which one of us?
Bluff won't do you any good. Will you hand it over or must we search the two of you?
Oh, I have never been so insulted. Search me immediately. I demand that you search me.
You seem very sure of yourself.
Of course she's sure. This girl wouldn't steal anything, Captain.
Now, we're going to see about that, Mr. Higgins. Sergeant, send for a matron to search this girl.
Right, Captain.
Say, Logan, maybe you can save yourself a lot of trouble.
Yeah?
But
Quick way to hide a diamond would be to wrap it in a wad of chewing gum.
Chewing gum?
Yes. There's one on the edge of Marcel's favorite chair.
Well, let's see.
Marcel is the only one here who chews that stuff.
I put nothing inside my chewing gum.
If someone put something inside this wad.
Here's a knife, Logan. Scrape the stuff off.
I didn't. I swear I didn't.
It's a diamond.
It's my diamond.
I didn't.
We'll go into that at headquarters, Marcel, thoroughly. I'm taking you there now.
Oh, no, do not let him, Andre. Help me.
Wait. I stole that diamond, Captain.
You, Thompson?
Yeah. I hid it where you found it. Now, let Marcel go.
You think this Thompson's confession was just a noble act, huh, Casey?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Of course it was, Ethelbert. So is Lowe.
Yeah, so am I. Thompson's so crazy about that phony Marcel, he'd go to the chair to protect her.
Maybe they both done it together. You say the suspects was eliminated down to just them two?
On the basis of my theory. Huh? But I can't see her doing it cold-bloodedly for no better motive than a diamond too hot to wear and too hot to sell.
Well, she could have had a double motive, Casey. You and Miss Williams say the dead guy was one of them practical jokers. Ain't you ever wanted to knock off one of them pests?
Ethelbert has something there, Casey.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe a lot. Excuse me, I'm going for a walk.
I'll go with you.
No. I want to be alone. Think.
Come in, Casey.
Thanks, Andre. Hope I'm not disturbing your work.
Well, I'm scarcely in the mood for work after what happened here last evening. Anyway, I've been away from the studio until a few minutes ago. I was down at the jail with Marcel.
Oh, how is she today?
Oh, she feels utterly friendless. She even thinks I'm against her.
Mm. You're trying to help her. You believe she's innocent.
Naturally.
How does she feel about Thompson?
Well, that the idiot's phony grandstand confession strengthened the circumstantial case against her.
That was the net result of it. Mind if I sit down, Andre?
Oh, yes, please do. Oh, are you paying me this unexpected but welcome visit as a newspaper man or as a friend, Casey?
Just as a guy.
Oh.
Say, Andre, what's your frank opinion of Mrs. Leland Carmichael, Daisy?
Why, she's an all-around good fellow.
Very superstitious, isn't she?
That's very.
Yeah, so I gathered from her talk about that ring. She kind of got on my nerves last night. She's too common. She's too bossy.
Well, Daisy can be a bit trying.
Yes, and Marcella, $1 million worth of looks and quarters worth of brains. She'd be hard to take as a steady diet.
Now, really, Casey,
Lister was hard to take, and Thompson and Bert Fallon. But all these people had fastened onto you like leeches.
What are you driving at?
Just this. You saw a chance to get rid of all of them in one sweep last night, and you took it. You got Daisy's diamond, you planted it to frame Marcel, you killed Fallon, and then Blister, so you could be free.
How will you prove this idea of yours?
The cops will prove it when I sell them on it.
You haven't done that yet?
No. I wanted to spring it on you first and see how you'd react. Your face has told me that my theory is good.
What does this reaction tell you?
I thought the cops impounded that gun you killed Blister with.
They did. This is another. No one else will realize the motive for what I did. I didn't kill for profit or because of hatred. I simply had to be free to the friends who were wrecking my life. They were driving me mad. I was too weak, too cowardly to send them away. Now you threaten my freedom. So I must kill again.
Oh, you don't. You broke out his gun, Sergeant. Get the cuffs on him.
All done, Captain.
Logan, I was beginning to think you'd make your play just a little too late.
You policemen were hiding in...
Yeah. We let ourselves in here while you were visiting Marcel at the jail.
Casey, you said you hadn't told anyone.
Well, never trust a newspaper guy, Andre. We're terrible liars.
I gave you your notion about Higgins, Casey?
You sure did, Albert. When you said everybody would like to kill pests.
Yeah, but nobody does kill them. They just say they'd like to.
Well, Well, there's always the exceptional person.
A fact naturally only realized by an exceptional person like our Mr. Casey.
Exactly, Miss Williams, and thank you, Miss Williams.
You're welcome.
Well, anyway, when I started to think seriously of pest extermination as a motive, the parts that hadn't fit fell right into place.
There's two parts that don't fit for me.
Well, what's that?
Higgins killed Fallon, framed Marcel for the murder and robbery, and then shot Blister Hoagland to make the frame stick. That's three pests he figured out of his way, but he wanted to be rid of two more, Thompson and Daisy.
Well, Marcel was the attraction that made Thompson hang around Higgins' place. Once she was removed, he'd be removed.
And Daisy was intensely superstitious. She'd never risk her luck around Higgins again.
Oh. I don't approve of Higgins' methods, Casey, but I got sympathy for his feelings. Oh, how I'd like to make a clean sweep of a lot of pests.
Good night, Ethelbert.
Yeah. Oh, good night, Grace.
Crime Photographer, starring Stotz Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation. Crime Photographer is directed by John Deese. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Life of the Party, an episode of Casey Crime Photographer from December 18th, 1947. I'm Greg Bell, and next on Wind Radio was Chandu the Magician, right after this.